Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
In this, I want to go ahead and jump into our message, because there's one thing that I need to get off my chest. As we are approaching the Christmas time, I'm not necessarily going to talk about Christmas as much. And we've got the Heart of Christmas Market going on right now, which you'll see another video promo for here in a little bit. But I was thinking about Christmas in a different way as I was reading through the first part of Matthew. And there's something I just have to get off my chest, and that for those of you who have, we have been invited to several birthday parties over the last 4 years that we've been here, especially once Arden started getting into the age of the birthday party circuit. And all the parties thrown here are just absolutely outstanding. I mean, it is such an honor to be invited to a birthday party. But I do have to say, there is one thing that just really rubs me wrong about birthday parties, and that is party favors. Yep. I think party favors are the most D-U-M-B thing in the entire world. And I say this because before we had kids, I guess we had Arden and she was real little, we weren't on the birthday party circuit yet. We watched this movie and I was trying to look up the name. It was a very forgettable movie. It was not all that great, but I think it starred Joan Cusack. And she was this mother who had kind of ingrained herself in the Upper East Side culture of New York City, but she didn't live in the Upper East Side. She lived in a poorer part of town. She was trying to move her way up in the world, and her husband was starting off in a new career. And so they were trying to be the perfect couple and the perfect family, and they were trying to do everything right. And the one scene I remember from this entire movie is that they're trying to get everything in order for their, like, six-year-old's birthday party. And they know they've got all these people coming, and so, but over and over throughout the entire movie, she keeps on saying, "Oh, those dumb party favors. I forgot about the party favors." And so she would have to, and all throughout, she kept going. Well, they eventually start going to all these different parties that are before their parties, because they're planning like 4 or 5 months out. And they go to one, and the party favor is like tickets to the circus or something like that. And then they go to another one, and the party favor is like Power Wheel cars. I mean, they just keep getting bigger and grander party favors. And basically, it's all these group of friends that are trying to one-up each other on what they give to the other kids that come to their kids' birthday parties. So when they leave, everyone thinks, their party was the best, I got the most out of it. And Joan Cusack and her husband are just, they hate party favors. Well, I didn't really think, me and Lindsay talked about this, and I looked over and I said, "You know, you've been around little kids more than I have. Is this really the way that it happens?" And she kind of looked and said, "Yeah, this is the way that it kind of happens." And I didn't really believe it. And then we got into the birthday party circuit, and we started throwing our own birthday parties as well. And the party favors came out. Now, you want to guess what happened to most of these party favors? They've either ended up under the couch or under the, you know, some toy bin unused for the last 6 months or so, because they're little noisemakers that, you know, the parents intentionally hide because we're tired of those. Or they're coloring pages that, you know, we colored. And those were very valuable. Those are great things that happen. But in all this, I wonder, why do we give party favors anyway? And so here's a scriptural reason, a story that kind of leads me to why I don't like party favors. This is from Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. This is part of Jesus' birth story, his birthday. When the wise men, the magi, saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So welcome to Jesus Christ's birthday party. The very first experience he had of being alive in this world, and probably a few weeks after he was born, the magi come to offer him presents. Now, the one thing I will say about the way we do birthday parties in the party favor scene and worrying about who's going to like the cake and making sure our house is tidy and everything is it does follow along the lines of Jewish and Christian hospitality laws. If you'll do a strict study of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and even most of the stories involved in Old Testament and New Testament times, hospitality is a highly valued thing. The controversial stories where we have gangs who are trying to get people, like in the Sodom and Gomorrah story or in the Judges 19 story, Judges 19 story, and they send out somebody else, that's because, or they send out like their own daughters to a crowd that's, you know, obviously going to harm them. That's because hospitality is uplifted so highly that so when people come to my house, we are honoring those traditions by giving out useless pieces of plastic or tickets to the circus or things like that, because we want to honor those people for taking time out of their schedule to come to our house. Now, this counts if I'm invited to a Halloween party, or if you decide you're just going to throw a party or game night and you invite me over to your house. There are hospitality codes that are in effect, right? You want to make sure your house is the cleanest so that you honor the guests who are coming over. You want to make sure you got food prepared so they're comfortable. You want to make sure you have perhaps games or something like that so they're entertained, because you have invited them into your house so that you might entertain them. That's how most parties go. Now, we're talking about Jesus' birthday here. And let me go ahead and make this statement, as you see on the sermon slide, that Jesus' birthday is not your birthday. You have a birthday. And a matter of fact, I think you ought to celebrate your birthday tonight. In my household, and the way that Lindsay and I have done things growing up with our kids, and this is, again, my opinion, not anything biblical, is that if it's your birthday, you get to pick whatever you want to eat. You get to go do whatever you want to do. It is your day because we are celebrating your life. And we all have birthdays. We have all been brought into this world very blessedly, that we have life. And so we have birthdays that we can do whatever we want to do to celebrate the life. And you know what we get to do? We get to invite other people to do whatever we want to do. That's why birthdays are the greatest thing in the entire world. Because if I want to take my wife to an action movie, or if I want to take my kids bowling or something like that, they have to do it because it's my birthday. But this is Jesus' birthday. Now, when you invite someone to a birthday party, though, they're here to honor me. Or if I'm going to Nancy's birthday, I'm going to honor Nancy. If I'm going to Arden's birthday party, I'm going to honor Arden. That's the intent of a birthday party, is to celebrate the life of that individual. Whereas instead, I know when I've been to parties, I've seen this happen. Most of the kids now are in a culture where they walk in, and the first thing my kid says is, "When do we get to eat cake?" Which I thought, okay, maybe it's just my kid. And then I went to other three-year-old birthday parties, and I've seen people throw absolute fits because we had to eat cake last instead of first. And then, sometime in the middle, we've got something about, well, when are we going to play this game? When are we going to do this? When do I get this? And then ultimately, as you walk in, if you're doing a really good party, you put the party favors lining on the table, which meant, it's a great flow of things. As you walk out, you grab the party favor, you go home. So it's a really great flow so people don't forget their party favors, because you want to be hospitable. But what happens is that the little kid walks in and sees them right off the front, and they see a big balloon, and they see something cool in the bag, and the entire party is spent, "When do I get the balloon? When do I get the balloon? When do I get the balloon? When do I get the balloon?" And we wonder why we have adults who think they deserve to get something every time they go someplace. Now, adults, we're not off the hook as well, because have you ever been invited to a birthday party, and you look at your husband, you look at your wife, and you kind of look at him and say, a couple different questions. Who else do you think is going to be there? Do you think we'll just stand around and talk the entire time, or do you think they'll make us play games? What kind of food do you think they'll have there? What kind of present can we re-gift so we don't have to go buy something, perhaps? Not saying we do that, I'm just, But we're not any better, because even though we are invited, if I am invited to Steve's birthday party, I'm still asking, well, who's going to be there? Who am I going to talk to the entire time? What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? What's in it for me in this situation? When in the very fact of things, I'm being invited to celebrate Steve. Now, Jesus' first birthday party is the Magi traveling from who knows where. The legend says one of them is from Persia, kind of the Iran-Iraq area. One of them is from Arabia, kind of the Saudi Arabia area. And one of them is from India. They have all sorts of different legends about what their names are. Scripture doesn't tell us. The common version is Shalthazar, Balthazar, and Melchior, if you want to remember those names. Those are the legendary names of the Magi who come travel. Now, the Magi know how to do a birthday party right. They go in at a great distance, mind you. Now, they're astrologers. They're Magi. Some people think it means magician, but most commonly they're thought of as Zoroastrian, which is another religion. Zoroastrian astrologers. And they see this great star in the sky, a great sign. So even amongst all the hustle and bustle of Mary and Joseph getting the party ready by having birth in the first place, or God getting the party ready, God sends out the invitation still. And the invitation is more luminous than anything else that we can ever imagine. And there's a great star in the sky which speaks to these people from another land, who they study stars, they study the sky. And so the Magi, at great expense and great, probably, time and effort, take their camels, take their donkeys, take their horses, travel all the way into Bethlehem, where they again see the star and follow it to the stable. They follow it to the manger scene, which, forget any notions you have of this beautiful manger scene. It's most likely the basement of Joseph's family house, or a cave behind Joseph's family house. Not exactly Little Jim or so for the first birthday party. But they do have an advantage going because they do have a petting zoo at their first birthday party. And so the Magi come, perhaps they enjoy the petting zoo, but they're not there for the petting zoo. They're not there to schmooze up Mary and Joseph. They're not there for anything else. They are there to pay homage to the baby Jesus. Because in their tradition, this big star, they recognize it when many of the Jewish people don't. In their tradition, this giant star means there is somebody so vastly important being born, someone so needing to be honored, so special, that they make this trek at their own expense, at their own time, to go and lay down gifts at the baby Jesus' feet because he will be the king of all kings. Even when they go to Herod, they recognize that where is the king of the Jews been born? We have seen the sign, and we need to do this. And so on the very first Christmas, on the very first birthday of Jesus, we see people who know how to do birthdays right. They go and they lay gold and frankincense and myrrh at their feet. Now, I'm actually for the idea. I like giving. We're trying to do a different thing. We're engaging Arden with the Heart of Christmas Market and trying to do gifts with our family that matter. But during birthdays, I actually really enjoy the idea of giving. During Christmas, I enjoy the idea of giving because it is this notion of honoring those other people. Now, the notion of giving Christmas gifts actually doesn't date back to the wise men. We like to think that that's where the tradition came from, but it originally came from St. Nicholas, who you can all know by another name, who started giving to people around the year end. And during Northern Europe, during this time at the end of the year, Northern Europe and Rome, they would already give presents to other people because it was like the celebration of another year. So at the end of the year, they would already give presents to other people. And St. Nicholas started giving to people who were less fortunate than he was. And he realized that they were destitute. And so he, at one point, the legend says, dropped the gold coin down the chimney for this widow to find. And then there was an orphan who had put out his shoes outside. And, you know, we hear have the traditions in England of putting presents in the shoes. And so St. Nicholas went and dropped a gold coin in the shoes. And it was meant that they would enable themselves to have a better year, to have a better life. Now, our gifts that we tend to give now, if you're like me or my kids or most of my family, if you give me a really cool TV, I'll probably use that a lot. So if anybody would like to, you know, I have a nice TV. If anyone wants to give me a nicer TV, I won't say no. I'll just go ahead and take that. But most of the gifts I get, unless they're clothes or some kind of really big expensive item, are not going to last for too long. And they don't have a lot of significance into uplifting my life, the very life that God gave me. But look at, so the gifts that the wise men, the Magi, give, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh is a balm. It is actually put on corpses at this time, but it's also used in healing as well for, you know, early physicians. They would put it on, and it was kind of a salve to alleviate sores. It was meant to heal and to bring life, and they actually put it on corpses because they thought as the person transferred into the next life that they would be healed, they would be given life as they go forward. And so Jesus is given a present that is meant to give life. Frankincense is incense, essentially. If you've ever been to an Anglican or a Greek Orthodox worship service and they've got all the smells and bells and they're going down the aisle and or incense is something that you burn in a lot of different yoga studios or religious traditions. It's used as a great smell now, but what it's meant to do is ward off evil spirits. The idea is that evil spirits will leave, bad karma will leave, bad things will leave the room, and therefore you can usher in the greatest form of life. And so Jesus is given frankincense to ward off the evil from his life, to enable his life to be better. And then gold is the one of the most purest metals. It's one of the most purest form of metal. It doesn't react to toxins. It doesn't deteriorate. It is an eternal, one of the reasons it's more valuable is because it is an eternal metal. It will last a long, long time and it will not deteriorate. So Jesus is giving something that wards off evil spirits, that creates you to have the best life possible, something that is healing, as we see Jesus does a lot often. And then gold that is indestructible and pure. Three things that not only symbolize about what Jesus will become, but three things that enable life to happen, that enable a life to be upheld and a life to get better. And this is what the Magi bring. You want to know what they get in return for their efforts? They get basically a death threat from Herod. Because before they had gone to Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, they had stopped by King Herod figuring we'll pay the dignitary the respect that King Herod deserves. And you know what? He's ruler or he's governor over this land. We should ask him because he will know if a special person is being born. They probably have records of it or something. So they go to King Herod and King Herod thinks, oh my gosh, somebody is going to depose my throne. So before this God-ordained person starts, I better ought to take care of it. So he tries to trick the wise men, and says to the Magi, you know, as you find this baby, come back and tell me where the baby is as well, so I may go worship him. And so the Magi are loaded with another burden on top of that, and God speaks to them in a dream and says, this is all a trap, this is all a trick, don't do it. So now, on top of the heavy expense that they've gone to the birthday party, the heavy toll they've taken to travel all this way, they also have this maybe guilt or maybe burden laid upon them that Herod is expecting some kind of thing in return, yet they sneak about in a back way to go back to their own lands after they're finishing giving the gifts to Jesus. And so their party favor is a death sentence, essentially, if they were caught not giving Herod the information that he wanted. And so somehow, in the midst of things, we've taken this birthday tradition of laying homage at the baby Jesus' feet. If I'm going to go to Jesus' birthday party, I'm laying homage. I am bowing down. I am worshiping the one whom God has chosen to live God's life out in the world. The very Messiah, the very incarnate God in the world. Somehow we've gone from this great expense to worship at the baby Jesus' feet to what am I going to get out of it? Now, we do this a lot on Christmas, obviously. Gift giving is something that I think is fun. We still do it, but we've gotten out of hand, haven't we, with gift giving. We don't give gifts that enable life anymore. We've also gotten in the habit, not just at Jesus' birthday, but assuming that most days are our birthdays as well, in that I go somewhere and I expect that I ought to benefit from that. I ought to get something out of everything I go to. Something ought to be given to me. Have you ever, you know, free is a word thrown out a lot. And if you're good at economics, you know that you pay for the free thing in some other way. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Yet, I'm drawn in because I think I get something out of simply walking in your door. That I am so honored to walk into Chili's that they're going to give me a free appetizer if I give this coupon. And forget about the expense that I might have paid. When really, isn't it a reward to be fed in the first place? Is it not a reward to know that I have the finances that I can go and be served in the first place? And so as we go into Jesus' birthday, I would like us all to imagine ourselves as the Magi, knowing we are not going to get a single thing out of Christmas, but instead that we will treat this as Jesus' birthday. Now, how would Jesus choose to celebrate his birthday is a very fascinating question that I'm not going to answer for you, but I want you to think about it. How would the creator of all life, how would the sustainer of all life, how would the redeemer of all life, how would the perfect person living on this world choose to celebrate his birthday? And then if you choose to go by David Lesner's rules of birthdays, the birthday boy or girl gets to pick whatever he or she wants to do on that day. And we all have to simply go with the flow. And so as you are preparing for Jesus' birthday and making those decorations, and we'll be talking about preparing for birthday parties next week, I would ask, how would Jesus celebrate his birthday so that you might know to go with the flow? And we have an opportunity to do that here. I'd like for you to watch this video about the Heart of Christmas Market that's going on today and next week.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our Bridge Service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.